Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Today, I actually wanted to present to you a message that God gave me the moment that Pastor Luke asked me to preach about 3 weeks ago. He let me know that I was going to be preaching, and I said, awesome. And then the next thing that I did was, God, what do you want me to say? Because I never want to get up here and, you know, like what Pastor Luke said, you know, it was actually funny. One of the pastors at the conference said, you can either be a voice or you can be an echo. And I never want to be an echo unless I'm echoing Christ. And so the thing that God gave me to talk about was the will of a servant. The will of a servant. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We adore you. We pray that right now you would have your way, that you would speak through me, that I am just a vessel that your Holy Spirit operates through, that the words that I speak are your words, the actions that I take are your actions. And the souls that will be saved today will be saved because they've heard your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, first, what is a will? What is a will? Essentially, a will is a legal document to ensure your money and estate is inherited by people you want to benefit and, of equal importance, doesn't go to people who you don't want to benefit. This can be tricky. Because the first step of writing a will is that you have to recognize and acknowledge who you deem a loved one. So, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, is my cousin actually someone that I want to give something to? Is Uncle Jeffrey someone that I want to, is he on the list? And this is the thing that can get tricky because you now start to break down who you actually love and hold dear. And then not only that, the second part of writing a will is that you then have to do an assessment of everything that you own and hold valuable to give to those loved ones that you deemed that you loved. And this can get even more tricky because Uncle Jeffrey could love your car. But you could be like, nah, Jeff, you're not going to get that car. I'm giving that to my son. But then your son could love the house. But then you go, nah, son, you, when you get old enough, you should be able to find a job and go buy your own house. So there's this constant battle of what do I write on my will that I hold valuable? Who do I give the things that I hold valuable to those individuals that may actually see the value in the things that I want to give them? Because it's not necessarily that what I hold at a level of importance here is going to be the same level of the people that I want to give it to. But the reality of the will and the weight of the will is that it is written for the legacy. It is written for the things that you've worked hard for, even the things that you inherited from those that have gone on before you, to leave behind so that your name, your estate, and the things that you hold valuable will continue. Can we agree with that? The thing that I love about owning things is, one, you can say, I inherited this from my great-great-great-great-father, great-grandfather or mother, or my father gave me this, he got this one, this, and it's like this pride of appreciation that you hold. But then there's the ownership of things that you worked hard for. I mean, the blood, sweat, and tears went into this, and I worked 40 hours a week to get the money to buy this, and then I took care of it for 35 years, and so there's just this appreciation, a pride of, I worked hard for this. But then God revealed to me of a story in the Bible of the prodigal son. And he wanted the valuables before the death of his father. He said, give me my inheritance now. I want it now. Give it to me now. It's my money. I want it. And the father honored him and gave it to him. But the son actually did not hold the items at the same value that the father did. Because if he did, then he wouldn't have sold it. But the prodigal son actually sold everything and then went out and just squandered it away. Like it went through his fingertips like water running from a faucet. But what I love is that the prodigal son came back and understood that, yes, I may have lost the materialistic things, but he did not lose the love of his father. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Anybody have treasure? No? No pirates? Oh, there's a pirate on the front row. Mark 8, 36 says, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Now, there is nothing wrong with having and owning things, but just make sure the things that you own don't own you. The next part about a will is that a will is just a document until you die. There actually has to be death for a will to be active. Do we recognize that? Just let that sink in. You've done this whole process of laying out who you love, what you deem valuable. You've placed it on, you've given it to your lawyers, and it's been stamped and notarized and all that. But guess what? It's just there as a record until there's a death. You actually have to die for that legacy to be passed on. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that Pastor Luke asked me to preach on this day and then that the Holy Spirit actually gave me this title to preach on, and to think that Anzac Day is actually an example of people having to die for the legacy of those left behind. And I know that we've taken a moment to acknowledge and remember, but think about it. The soldiers had to go through a process, a mental process, first to serve. And then second, once they were deployed, did they have the opportunity to write down the physical will, to deem who they loved? Or did they just say, you know what, I'm fighting for every Aussie and New Zealander. I'm willing to give my life so that they can have a country that is free, a country that has freedoms and liberties that I myself do not have at this moment. I'm willing to give up my life for that legacy to be given. Just let that sink in. And the thing is, with that choice that they made for those that served, those that died, their loved ones were heartbroken. They'll never have that person in their arms again. But what they do have is the value. They have the memories. They have the legacy of what was done by their loved one when they gave up their lives to serve. And Jesus himself also prepared to go to battle. The Bible talks about, in Matthew 26, 1 through 13, I love the word, so that's why we're going to read it. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask, a very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the pure with poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the world, the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This lady in the Bible, Mary, actually did an act where she gave up what was most valuable to her, not after she died, but actually to prepare Jesus for his death. The thing is that the disciples didn't even recognize that Jesus was telling them of his future, his up-and-coming present. They were just like, oh, Jesus, what's up? Let's just walk down the street. We're holding hands. We're skipping. We're singing songs. We're doing everything. And Jesus is like, in 2 days, I'm going to be killed. The sacrifice is happening in 2 days. And they're like, nah, let's just go eat lamb shanks, tomahawk steaks, pork ribs, and some salad. I did not eat the salad, but I will start eating salad tomorrow. But here's what I love about, she took that alabaster box and broke it. And what could have been given to her kids, to her lineage, she said, no, I'm going to sacrifice this now and prepare for what Jesus is about to do. And I'll tell you that we talk about wills and we talk about written things and for the legacies of it all, but Jesus also had a will. But God also had a will. And there was a battle that Jesus had to go through. It was a short battle, but it was a battle within itself. The Bible says in Matthew 26, 39, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Do you know that Jesus, being fully God, but also fully man, had a challenge? And the challenge was, do I take on my godly form and say, you know what? I can do what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, because I am sovereign. Because he is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Or did Jesus say, I'm going to take on the fully man where I have free will? What? Free will? Yes, free will. Free will simply means that he still could have said, nah, God, I know why you sent me down here, but 33 years of living on this earth, I've seen some good, some bad, and some ugly. And I don't want to really die the way that it has been written for me to die. Think about that. being fully man, having full access to free will. And Jesus still chose to die. He still chose to die. John 14, verse 1 through 4, and then 12 through 14 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If there were not so, I would have told you that I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Now, here's what we got to understand. We're talking about a will. We're talking about the will of a servant. We're talking about a written document, but we're also talking about the will of God. Mainly, we're talking about an inheritance. And the scriptures that I just read, if Jesus would have chosen the free will side of, "I'm not doing this," then what I just read is null and void. There is no mansion that we have access to. There is no power that we have access to. There are no greater things that can be done in his name that we have access to. It's only because Jesus decided to go to the cross, to take on the beating, to take on the death and resurrection, that we have the ability to speak those things that are not as if they were. It is only because of Jesus taking the side of the cross that we have the inheritance of living in heaven with him. And this is what I love. Jesus did not have to break down. Did he deem Luke a loved one? Did he deem Josh a loved one? Did he deem Sarah a loved one? Did he deem Kelly a loved one? Did he deem Daniel, Jeffrey? Oh, Uncle Jeffrey, you made the list. Jesus did this for everybody. We all, there is no certain list of the good family or the bad family. It's all of us have access to the very word that I just read. We have an inheritance to the very thing that was just written, because Jesus made a decision to lay down his will for the will of God. And I want to encourage you that it is not an easy thing to do. If it was easy, then Jesus wouldn't have been sweating like blood. If it was easy, he wouldn't have taken time away to pray, to really go deeper and say, "God, you know what? If this could be done another way, then let it." If it was easy, he would have just been like, "Oh, yeah, let's just coast through this thing. I'm good. I got my state in order." But no, because this was a difficult decision that he had to make, but yet he said, "Your will be done, God, not mine, so that my sons and daughters will have the legacy. They will have the inheritance that awaits them." And I got to thinking about this, and I said, "Okay, God, we're starting to talk about all these things, and you're downloading all this stuff to me, and you're letting me know what you have done for me, but what can I do for my loved ones? And what can I do for you?" And let's just be real. Right now, if I were to write my will out, on paper, just the reality, coming from America to Australia, that list would be short. I have a car. I have two dogs. I have a wife. Two kids. I can't pass them on. No one wants to take my two dogs. Because my two dogs, if you've met, look, I wish that I could legally bring my two dogs into this VMAX and just let them run free. Everyone would be like, oh my God, they're so obnoxious and they're just so big. Can you please just take them and out in the back? But then they're so loving, but then so muscular that you say, oh, come here. And then they just run, all muscles, knock you in the chest, and now you're on the back. It happened to a pastor at my previous church. No word of a lie. She thought, oh my gosh, you have such lovely dogs. And my dog named Dexter said, oh, you're so lovely. Let me run and give you a kiss. And he ran and said, boom. And she fell on her back, had food in her hands, and it was the funniest thing. Yet, I did not laugh until I helped her up and said, are you okay? And the moment she said, yes, I'm okay, I laughed the biggest Santa Claus belly laugh ever. But that's the thing. If I started writing down the things that I materialistically own, that list would be short. But my loved ones, that list would be great. Because I have a large family. It's eight of us, four boys, four girls. I am the fourth boy, fifth child. So I have three older brothers, one older sister, three younger sisters. Have my parents. But then I also have a total of 18 nieces and nephews and one great niece. And that's just my blood family. And then I have my Aussie family, where I've added them to my list, and I love them just as much as my blood family. But then it's like, okay, God, what can I give them? What can I do for them? And he told me, be a living sacrifice. Because in being a living sacrifice, I actually don't have to go through the physical death that Jesus went through to worry about passing on a materialistic thing, but I can pass on a spiritual thing to where everything that is valued in my world is also just as valuable in your world because I'm leaving the message of Jesus Christ. So every time that I step out of my home, it's Jesus. Every time I step foot in my home, it's Jesus. Every time I'm in my car, even though there are terrible drivers here in Melbourne, let me tell you firsthand, some of you may be in here, don't raise your hand if you are, terrible. But still in my car, it's Jesus. And that's the legacy that Christ actually wants you to leave as well. A lot of times we get caught up in the written will, and that's fine. Trust me, I'm not telling you not to write your physical will, but I am saying that it is the will of God that is more valuable and holds more weight than anything that you have inherited from those that have gone before you. And if we could just understand that in taking on God's will, yes, we get the blessings. We get the miracle situations that happen. So, like, again, there's been financial blessings. There have been natural, like Kelly and I have been given cars for free. We've had $30,000 plus given to us. Well, actually $40,000 plus, and everything is just handed to us, and hey, you go do what God has called you to do, all these type of things. And that's awesome. God is allowing the natural funds to actually be utilized here on earth. But the main thing that I can tell you right now without a shadow of a doubt that I hold more valuable than anything is salvation. Because I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, I actually had to die. There was a death when I said, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And it was a death to the things that I want to do. It was a death to the things that I desire. It was a death to the things that owned me. So I had to let it all go to say, God, let your will be done through me. And as the team gets ready to come, I want you all to know that that same request is on the table for you today. I want you to go through the process of writing a will. That's why I laid it out this way, because in reality, if you sit down and actually do this, it's a very confronting thing. It's very confronting to write down and take an account of everything that you hold valuable and everything that you want to leave behind with the realities of a death. Because you got to remember, a will is just a document. It cannot be activated until there is a death. But today, because Jesus did the physical death over 2,000 years ago, he's only asking us to do a spiritual death. He's only asking us to die to flesh daily so that we can inherit the things that he's mentioned in his word. It's salvation that is more precious than silver or gold. It's salvation that allows you to have power over every wicked thing. It's salvation that you can live every day and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ that increases the legacy of what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. So today I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to die. I'm going to challenge you to die to the will of yourself.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.